We're holding the beginning of the fourth perek. Continuing, of course, with the dinim of Yom Tov, the first part of this perek is going to be dealing with issues relating to firewood on Yom Tov, and then we'll go on to some other topics. Mishnah says, "Hamevi kada yayin makom l'makom." If a person is carrying jugs of wine, bottles of wine from one place to another. Which, what do we mean by one place to another? Rashi says we're talking about that we're talking about, for example, from one city, outside the city. The expression Rashi uses, "Besechat tchum or al yedei eruv," within the tchum, outside the city, or even using an eruv tchum to get from one city to another. In other words, Rashi is talking about carrying around in public. Tosfos brings up the possibility that not necessarily. We might even be talking about Tosfos discusses the question, is it only that, or are we talking about even carrying it around the house? So anyway, lo yavim basal v'kupa, you're not allowed to bring them in a basket or in a box. Like you take a few bottles and put them into a box and carry them, because it actually says it looks like uvdin dechol. It's another one of those weekday-ish like activities, like you carry a whole case of wine. Well, we're talking about it. It's a sort of like a mafish, but when you're carrying that much at once, it makes it look like you're doing it as a weekday-ish activity. However, maybe you walk safer or lefana, but you're allowed to carry it on your shoulder or in front of you, just holding it in your hands. V'chein ha-moylech is a tevin. Similarly, a person is carrying straw on Yom Tov. He's carrying it. It could be for either purpose. He could be using it for animal food, or he could be using it for firewood. Either way, lo yachshel asakupa l'achorav, he shouldn't sling the box behind his back. Like normally on weekdays, you'd carry it like this behind your back. Don't do that on Yom Tov again, because it's a weekdayish activity. But you can bring it. Just you can carry the box in your hands in front of you.
Is that in a way connected to the concept of front and also behind?
No. Maybe al derech hadrush, I don't know, but in the simple level, it's just when you carry a whole basket like that behind your shoulder, that's the normal weekdayish way of doing things. When you carry just a box of it in front of you, as the Gemara is going to discuss, that's a shinui. It's a different way of doing things, and therefore it shows honor to Yom Tov. And Mefarshim talk about why is it that within the case of the wine it uses the expression lefanov, and in the case of the straw it uses the word biyade. One idea is that the straw being a large box, you necessarily have to carry it in your hands, whereas the wine it just has to be lefanov. It's not necessarily that you actually have to actually be carrying it in your hands. You could be
very difficult to carry.
Yes. Right. Continue the Mishnah. Maschilin ba'aremas ha-tevin. You can start on Yom Tov using a supply from a pile of straw. So if you have a pile of straw, which the Gemara is going to talk about, that we're talking about straw, which really isn't usable for anything else except for firewood, so you have a whole pile of it. You didn't designate before Yom Tov. You didn't specifically say before Yom Tov, I plan to use this for firewood. And even beforehand, you weren't using it for firewood, maybe. But you're allowed to start in on that pile. It's not considered muktzah. But you're not allowed to start in on the wood that you have in your muktzah. And here the word muktzah doesn't mean the usual meaning of the word muktzah as in something which is off-limits. The word muktzah over here basically means a storage area. It's called muktzah because you put things in it usually that are kind of the equivalent nowadays of like putting things in your garage. You'll get to them 5 years from now, This is like stuff that you store long-term. So you're not allowed to start in on that wood on Yom Tov. Rashi says Rechava Shachar Nebatim, right? Like the open area behind the house, like your backyard, basically. Yeah. So Tana, we learn in the Braisa, im ef shaloshanos mutter. If there is no way to make a distinction in the carrying, then it's mutter. For example, so we talked about in the Mishnah. Let's say you're carrying these bottles of wine from one place to another. Instead of putting a few of them in a box, carry them in your hands. But what about if you can't? Let's say, for example, you have a lot of guests, so you have to bring in a whole box of wine. Well, then it's allowed to. Yeah. No, it doesn't matter whether the box is sealed or not. The point is, it's allowed because you have to carry all that much at once. You're not going to start schlepping one or two at a time. Which actually, that gets into the issue, again, of whether we're talking about this that we're talking about as far as carrying. Are we talking about specifically from one city to another, or are we talking even around the house? Because, after all, if we look what the Mishnah is telling us, effectively what the Mishnah is telling us is, instead of bringing a whole box, bring one or two bottles at a time. But what does that mean? It means you're going to have to do a lot more walking. But therefore, because it's out in public, therefore, we're going to say, go ahead and do that, because at least you shouldn't be acting in public in a weekday-ish way. As opposed to if it's just around the house, it's less of an issue, because there's nobody to see it. And we're not really talking, it's not an issue of Marisayan. If it was Marisayan, then we have the usual rule, Marisayan is also even in privacy. But it's not really a matter of Marisayan, but it's a matter of Uvdin Dechol, of doing weekday-ish activities, which therefore there is a difference between public and private. So therefore, so if you're bringing for your guests, so in other words, the point is, if you're carrying it just around your house, and you have to move the wine from one place to another, then by all means, take it in a box so you don't have to walk around, you don't have to do a lot of extra walking. But if you're doing it in the street, or from where, you know, if you're walking down the street, then unless you have a reason, such as you have a lot of guests, then you should carry it bit by bit, even though it means more walking. Incidentally, the Alter Rebbe points out this, that we're saying if you have a lot of guests, you might think, okay, this is talking about if you have out of town guests, you're doing a mitzvah lachnas atzarchem. Of course, the mitzvah overrides that. No, because what the Alter Rebbe says is even if these guests live there in town, so you're not having them as guests at the mitzvah lachnas atzarchem. You just as a nice thing to have your friends over for yomtiv. It's still allowed. Askin Rava b'mechuzah. Rava made the following takana in mechuzah. As far as that you should make a distinction, you should carry things on Yom Tov not in the same way that you do on weekdays. The Doru B'duchka, things that are normally carried by Doichek, Rashi says that means that you carry it on your shoulder and it's a heavy burden, it's a burden, it's a Torah to do it that way. Instead on Yom Tov, Lidra B'ragla. Instead on Yom Tov, carry it using a ragla. A ragla, Rashi describes, is something like a pitchfork. We're not talking about like you hold the pitchfork out in front of you with the thing on it. The way that Mephoshim explain it, it comes out basically. It's a kind of like a yoke that you put on your shoulders. You have like it's a Y shaped thing. The Oroch defines it as a Y shaped thing. He shows a picture like a Langa Tzaddik. The two ends of it go over your shoulders, and you hang the barrel or whatever it is you're carrying tied to the two ends. The long end goes behind you, and when you want to rest, when you need to take time to rest, then you put it down on the ground. So therefore, it's called the ragla, which means the foot, because it looks a little bit. It's a little bit like an extra foot. It's a Y, basically. Yeah. No, you don't stick it on the ground. You just lay the end of it on the ground to ease the burden off your shoulders a minute until you're ready to continue. That's an easier way of carrying, though, instead of carrying it on your shoulder. So therefore, you've made it an easier thing for Yom Tov. The Doru B'ragla, if you have something which normally is carried on a ragla, on a device like this Y-shaped device, Lidra B'agra, then instead carry it using a pole that two people carry on their shoulders. Because again, that's an easier thing than carrying it using this Y thing. If you have something which normally on Yom Tov, that normally on weekdays you would carry using this yoke, the ragla, then instead use a pole that two people are carrying one end each.
You look very nice, like we.
But it's not a normal way to carry this particular thing, so therefore it's fine. And the fact is, it is actually, it also makes it easier. It's easier to carry something when you can, normally it's something that one person could carry by himself, instead of having two people carry it, so it's easier.
Maybe it's easier, but it still looks much more weakly and...
If you have three people involved, yeah, we talked about in the first paragraph that you can't send a gift to somebody with three people carrying it, but two people apparently is less of an issue. And the Doru B'agra, something that normally is carried by an agra, like that, with two people carrying on a pole on their shoulders. Instead, Lidru B'akfa. Instead, you should still have two people carry it, but it should be they should hold it instead of on their shoulders. They should be holding the pole in their hands. Which that actually says doesn't make things. Akfa means Miloshin kaf, Miloshin something that they hold in the palm of their hand. Which that, Rashi says, doesn't really make things any easier, but at least it is a shinui, and it's not making things harder. It's the same amount of tircha, and it makes a difference. So that way you're showing that you're doing it differently for Yom Tov. Dodoro ba'akfa, something that normally is carried like that, with a stick that people hold in their hands. Nifra sudra ilave. Then what you should do is, still carry it that way, but put a cloth on top of it. The cloth doesn't really weigh anything extra, so it's not making the burden any heavier, and it makes also a shinui. That you're,
you put the cloth in your hand.
No, you put a cloth over the over the object you're carrying. Yeah, you're carrying a barrel, for example. Yeah. No. So we're not saying you carry it in your hand. We're talking about you have it suspended from a pole, which two people are holding the pole. Each one is holding one end of the pole in their hand, and you have the thing suspended from it. So if this is something which normally is carried that way, even on weekdays, so to do it like that on Yom Tov is not a shinui, the shinui will be that you'll cover it with cloth. The imloy epshon, if it's not possible, you don't have a cloth, for example, or you might get dirty or whatever, shari, then it's allowed without any change. The olamari epshon l'shan is mutter, because we just said, if you can't make any change, then it's mutter to do it the normal way. This is Rashi's explanation of these different terms. The Rambam puts it a little bit differently, that the first one in the series is that you normally carry it on a pole, and instead of carrying it on a pole, then you should carry it on your back. Something that normally is carried on your back, you should carry on your shoulder. Something that normally is carried on your shoulder, you should carry in front of you. Similar idea, but different definitions of what the various things are. Then Tosfos points out it's not really a question of making it easier or harder. It means even if it makes it harder, even if it's something that makes it harder than it would normally be on weekdays, at least you're making a shinui so you're not doing it in the weekdayish way. So not like Rashi says where each one has to be easier than the previous one or at least no harder. No, it can even be harder as long as it's a shinui.
Worried about others thinking.
Not others thinking, that's the thing. It's not a matter of modifying. It's a matter of weekday-ish activities. You want to do it differently than you're doing on weekdays. Omer Rav Chanan bar Rava lo Rav Ashi. So now Rav Chanan bar Rava asked Rav Ashi a similar thing. Omer Rabbanan, we just said that Rabbanan said, Tama de epshel shenuyim shenenin, as much as possible, as you're able to vary the normal way of carrying it, you should do so on Yom Tov. Well, then the question is, you should change on Yom Tov. The question is, but you have these women, they fill up their jugs of water on Yom Tov, and they carry them home on their shoulder, and they don't make any difference, and we don't tell them anything. Why not? According to what we just said, they should be doing it somehow differently. So Rav Ashi tells him the reason is Mishum Delay Epshet. Because when you consider the various possibilities of how you might change it, it's not possible. Every possible change that you could make is going to make things worse. How so? Hechi Levit. Because how should we do it? Should we say Demalya Machatzva Rabba Demalya Machatzva Zutta? Should we say that a woman who usually uses a large bucket to fill up water instead should use a smaller one? Can't do that. Kamapsha Behilucha. You still need the same amount of water. You're going to end up doing a lot of extra walking. Which Tosfos points out, so we said before, as far as the wine, it's not such an issue to do extra walking. The difference is, here it doesn't look like as much of a shinui, because even on weekdays, sometimes you use a larger bucket, sometimes you use a smaller one. So to just use a smaller one does not look like any kind of shinui, and you're making things worse as far as having to do more walking. And again, if we make a distinction between carrying outside the city versus carrying within the city from the well to your house, then again, you know, we could say that when it comes to the wine, you're carrying it, Rashi said, from city to city, then through an Eretz woman or outside the city, then you don't want to do, then we don't mind extra walking, but within the city, we don't want to make you walk extra. Yeah. How about the other way around? Demalya b'chatzva zutta demalya b'chatzva rabba. So you say maybe the other way around. The woman who usually uses a smaller bucket, she uses a larger bucket. Come up, she b'masri. Then you're making more. You're having to carry more at a time. That makes a bigger burden. Techasi b'nachtema. Should you say that they should carry? That they should cover? Should we say that you should cover it with a cover? The buckets in those days had like a wooden cover. You can't. Zimna de nuffles or osula asuye. It might sometimes fall off, and you'll end up carrying it. Now, what's the problem with carrying it? You're allowed to carry on Yom Tov. Different mafreshim have different possibilities. Maram and some other mafreshim say the problem is you're only allowed to carry on Yom Tov l'tzorich Yom Tov. Carrying the cover, if it falls off and you carry it separately, that's not the sort of yom. There's no need of yom in it. Then there are other mafarshim who explain that Rav Ranchgrub quotes it that says that the Mogen Avraham talks about it. Is the other problem is the cover might break if it falls when it falls off. It might break. You're going to carry home the pieces, and that you're not allowed to do because it's not allowed to. You're not allowed to do because you have no use for them on yom. Yeah. Tikterei, should we say you should tie the cover onto the bucket? No, zimnin de mafsik vasa lemikterei. The string might break. The string might break, and you'll re-knot it, and then you'll be doing a malacha. Tiferes sudra ilave, should we say that you should cover the bucket with a cloth? Can't. Zimnin de mitzvish b'maya, the cloth may fall into the water and get wet, v'asulidei schita, and then you'll forget, and then squeeze it out. Which, before we talked about, Tosfos points out, before we talked about covering whatever you're carrying with a cloth, here we're saying not. The Tosfos says there's two differences. Number one, before we were talking about something, for example, you're carrying a jug that has a narrow neck. If you cover it with a cloth, there's very little possibility that it's going to fall in. Here we're talking about a bucket, which has a wide mouth where it can easily fall in. Second of all, Tosfos says the difference is, before we were talking about, for example, carrying a barrel of wine, where the problem over here is not so much schita, is not so much that you squeeze it out, but that you're washing the cloth, washing them to fly to wine. So therefore, if the cloth does get wet in the wine, big deal, you haven't done a malacha of libun, because that doesn't apply to cloth getting wet in wine, and if you squeeze it out, what are you going to do? You're not going to squeeze it back into the barrel, you're going to squeeze it out on the ground, it's going to waste anyway, so you're not doing a malacha of dosh either. Whereas when it falls into the water, you have two problems. Number one, there's been libun, that there was cleaning, and number two, you're going to squeeze it out, you're going to squeeze it out.
You're going to squeeze it, but is that instead of wine that you don't buy, why would you squeeze the foot?
No, because you're going to squeeze it either way. But the wine, we're not worried about schita because it's going to go on the ground. The cloth, you might well squeeze back into your water because you want all that water.
And if the wine goes back to the barrel,
then it would be the same. Then it would be an issue of schita, but normally apparently you wouldn't. So the bottom line is, there's no other way to change it. So therefore, we just let well enough alone, and they can carry the bucket normally.
If you squeeze on the ground and lick it, pull on the ground, it's not going
to. It is. We're saying it's not really. It's a tulda maybe, or it's only also midrabanan, but at least it's not also. It's not also midaraita. That's right. Yeah, it has to be you're using it for liquid. Yes.
The same liquid as.
No. It just has to be that you're using the liquid for something. For the malacha of schita, or dosh rather, is that you're using the liquid for some purpose as a liquid. You're squeezing grapes, for example, to drink the juice. You're milking a cow in order to drink the milk.
So how come you're allowed to put it on food?
Because when you're squeezing it directly onto food, then it's oichel. Then it's considered oichel. Then it's not considered a liquid, then it's considered an oichel. Then it's considered what we call at the beginning of the Sefer, uchla de efras, food that just became broken up into smaller pieces. This is, by the way, why, and on Jewish farms, when they have to milk the cows on Shabbos, they have to, because otherwise it's tav al chayim, they have the milk go to waste. They put soap in the bucket before they start milking it, or they just attach the milking machine or whatever, they have it attached before Shabbos or whatever, and just let it drain onto the ground so that you don't have this issue of dush. But how else are you going to do it? You can't leave the cow unmilked for 24 hours. It would be tav al chayim. And, yeah. Similar thing. Talking about this, so we just mentioned this thing about drawing water, where we said that the women draw water. They don't do anything any different. Why aren't we objecting? And we said because there's no other way to do it. Now we have a similar thing. We learn in a Mishnah, it's in the next parak. On Yom Tov and on Shabbos, you're not allowed to clap. Rashi says as a matter of song or as a matter of mourning, you're not allowed to clap your hands together. Wait, or that's metapchin ve'en mesapkin. You can't slap your hands on your thighs. Ve'en meraktin, and you can't dance. All these things. So why all these things? So Rashi says over here, and Tosfos also brings that we're going to explain in the next paragraph. The reason is the Chum Medek Zera on all these things, because you may then come to you're doing them for musical reasons. So you may come to fix musical instruments to accompany it. Now the fact is nowadays it is a very common thing that people clap and dance and never on Shabbos. How is that? There's been a lot of ink spilled on this. In particular, we talked about this I think a while back. In particular, there's a tshuva from the Minchas Elazar that goes into the details at great length. Tosfos actually says here a brief thing that it's not such an issue because nowadays we're not so bucky, we're not so expert in fixing musical instruments, and therefore it's less of an issue. So the Minchas HaLaza has a long tshuva based on that, based on other considerations. The Rebbe once talked about the idea that why was this concept revealed closer to our times? Why is it in the times of the Gemara it was a given that you can't clap on Shabbos, and nowadays nowadays the general custom is that we do, and the Minchas HaLaza finds a justification for it. Why Dafke in our times did that happen? Because the Rebbe said we're coming closer to Mashiach times, so therefore we have like a foretaste of that now in that we're able to have this kind of simcha on Shabbos and Yom Tov.
So it's not really only on the Omer that you're not supposed to really listen to music, it's all year round.
That's a whole different issue about listening to music, right? That's a whole different issue, which is kind of honored more in the breach than in the observance, but yeah. Here we're talking about Shabbos and Yom Tov. Yeah, this is all the Rabbanan. Yeah. But nowadays we see that people do that on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. And we don't say anything. Why not? Amalei. So Abaye answers him. So let's use your own logic. Use your own logic. I'll show you another din where we don't tell people. Hada Amar Rava, this that Rava said, or on the side here it says, Rava, loy leisiv inish apumer delechta. A person should not sit by the entrance of the mavui next to the lechi that we learned about in Eruvin that you put there to be master to carry in the mavui. Dumam bandalei chefetz, because whatever the object that you're holding may roll away into the Rishus Rabim. Va'asi lachsuye, now the Amos Rishus Rabim, you may come to bring it in from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yachid, or to carry it for Amos and Rishus Rabim. So the question is, so that's a given. That's a given. You're not allowed to do that. V'ahani noshi, but we see that there are these women. The shaklan chatzvayu, they take their pitchers of water. V'azlan v'yosven apuma d'mavaya, they go and they sit by the entrance to the mavuri on Yom Tov and on Shabbos. V'lemrin l'mum v'lemidi, and we don't tell them anything. So they're being over on a thing that Rabbanan. So he's telling Rav Baruch Hanan, you asking about this business of not clapping and dancing, etc. No, by the same token, why aren't you asking about this case with sitting on by the mavuri? Ella. He's giving it another example of something which is dirabanan. And is clearly osur. And yet you see that people do it all the time and nobody objects. Ella, but you have to say the reason is hanach lahem liyisrael. Let the Jewish people well enough alone. Mutav shiu, famous expression. Mutav shiu shagin v'alyu mezidin. Better let them do it by mistake rather than they'll do it by mezid. Meaning, if you tell them, for example, you're not allowed to sit by the entrance of the mavui with your pitcher, they're going to ignore you anyway. Now they're going to be doing it by mezid. Better leave well enough alone. They're doing it for shogging.
What about the overtime on Shabbos, people who are putting their children on a fence, on a little brick, and sometimes they put them in the garden and pull them back out into the street?
So the question would basically be whether the garden is a kamelis or a shayachin. Right. So this that we're saying, let leave well enough alone. Don't tell them if they're not going to listen anyway. Only applies to things that are on them. But when it comes to things that are right, so that not. However, the Gemara immediately says, actually that's not so. It doesn't matter whether it's right or drabanan. Either way, you don't tell them anything. If we know they're not going to listen, which in Shulchan Aruch, it's careful to point out, this is only if you know for sure they're not going to listen. If there's a chance that they're going to listen, of course you have to tell them to do the mitzvah tershacha. But if you know for sure they're not going to listen, then whether it's deraita or whether derabanan, we'll talk in a minute what kinds of deraita and derabanans we're talking about. Either way, lo yaminu nalu v'lo yimidi, we don't tell them anything. And I can prove it to you, as Gemara says, the hotosvus yema kapurim deraitu, because we see that adding on extra time at the beginning and end of Yom Kippur is a thing deraita. We learned in Yom, we'll learn again in Rosh Hashanah, that we learn it from a pasuk that speaks of Yom Kippur as beginning v'sisha l'chodesh b'erev, and then on the 9th of Tishrei in the evening. So that means you have to take some part of the 9th of Tishrei and start fasting and stopping doing malacha before that. So that's their right. And yet we see that there are people who eat and drink until it's getting dark, which actually means it's obein hashmashes. And we don't tell them anything. And that's deraita. So we see that even if things are deraita, you still don't tell them. Because of the principle that if you tell them, they're going to ignore you anyway, and therefore then they'd be doing it amazing. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, it explains, ultimately this goes back to the Itzur, one of the Rishonim, that this that we're saying, even by deraita you don't tell them, is only something deraita, only when you have something which is deraita in the sense that it's not derabanan, but it's not explicitly written in the Torah. We learn it from one of the shloshas, from one of the yudgil midos, shatara nedrashas behem. It's our lachol moshe mitzinai, whatever. But this thing about Torah with Yom Kippurim, the Torah doesn't say in so many words you have to add Yom Kippur. We learn it from these words, b'tisha lachodesh b'erev. Something that actually blatantly says in the Torah, like don't eat treif, or don't work on Shabbos or whatever. That there's no question. You have to tell them. As the Gemara in Erchin has a sugya about how far you have to go in giving somebody mussar, where it talks about ad kadei klala, ad kadei akah, up to the point where the person is cursing you out or hitting you or whatever it is. You're obligated.
What's the word to say?
You crave
what?
To do tashicha, to rebuke them, to tell them you're doing wrong.
Private,
well, of course, well, I see all of Chet, yeah. But, so in other words, so this is that the Gemara is telling us over here, that if you know somebody's not going to listen anyway, even on something d'oraita, don't tell them. That's, we mean something d'oraita as in something that's a halacha moshe mitzinai, or something that's learned from by a drasha from the Sukkim or whatever, not something that it actually says in so many words in the pasuk. Because that you can expect the person knows. If they're doing it, you know already, they're amazed, basically. So therefore, you're not going to gain anything by not telling them. Also true, but there is a way to do it. Even in that same sugya in Erchin, the Gemara says that even in those times already, the Gemara has an expression that's like, is there anybody nowadays who knows how to give proper mussar? Anytime somebody gives mussar, the other person tells him, hey, you do a lot worse yourself, tell Kodam Vin and Nefa. So, yeah,
I always, when I'm davening, just a side thing, just anything I want to share with anything, I was always more disturbed by the person screaming to be quiet than the person was talking.
True.
That's the very thing, the whole mood out.
Ryan Nachman's last teaching was about, being careful with giving b'tochacha, because it's a very
thing.
Okay. So returning to this, so by the same token, when people are clapping or dancing or whatever on Shabbos, they're not going to listen anyway. It's a mutav yirshogi. And like I say, closer to our time, we have poskim such as the Minchas Elazar who actually find justification in halacha for doing this. Mainly, one large part of it, like I say, is based on what Tosfos points out over here, that nowadays your average person doesn't know how to repair musical instruments anyway.
Dancing,
clapping, and slapping your thighs. Those are the three things I mentioned.
So,
so that's the thing. According to what the Gemara is saying here, and as we'll learn in the next paragraph, theoretically not. In practice, there are grounds for being masterate nowadays. So you found all the time in 770 at the Shabbos afternoon for Brengen that people would be clapping during the singing, and even sometimes the Rebbe would signal to people to whistle.
So at 770 at night they're singing Chia to Lachadai
B'Tzahar. Yeah, that's a whole nother. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
The Mishnah had said, "Maschilin ba'arei masateven." Now, the Mishnah had said, "So you're allowed to start in on the pile of straw, but not on the wood pile in the mukta." Starting, we said, we have a pile over there. You've never used it yet for firewood, for fuel, but you're allowed to start in on it. It's not considered mukta. Amar Rav Kahana, "Zoyse meres maschilin ba'oyse tchila." So we see from that then that you're allowed to start in on something that was stored away. You have something in storage, which you meant to leave it there. You meant to leave it there in your garage for a while, let's say. But now you're allowed to take it out and start using it on Yom Tov. We don't consider it Mukta. The question is, Mani, Rav Shimon, that would seem to be according to Rav Shimon, the last lay Mukta, that Rav Shimon does not hold a broad category of Mukta. There's various specific cases that he said are of Mukta, but the generic category of Mukta, Rav Shimon doesn't hold of, as we said back at the beginning of the Masechta. The question is, aim a safer, but then look at the last part of the Mishnah, Avaloy Ba'etzim Shur Mukta, that you're not allowed to start in on the wood pile that's in the Mukta. After on the Rabbi Yehuda, De Islay Mukta, that seems to be according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds the Mukta. The very fact that you put that wood in your garage means that's it. You didn't intend to use it on Yom Tov. The answer is, Hacha Ba'arzi Va'ashukhi Yaskin. And we're not just talking in the Mishnah about any kind of wood. We're talking about, for example, cedar wood or Ashuach. Rashi says Ashuach means a female cedar tree. So an Erez and an Ashuach would be a male and a female cedar tree. In modern Hebrew, Ashuach means a fir tree. Whatever. It's expensive wood. It's not the kind of wood that you normally use for firewood. Nobody normally uses cedar wood for firewood. You use it for building. So therefore, even Reb Shimon So therefore, we're talking about that kind of expensive wood. This is a special category of muktzah, where it's muktzah machmas chasarin kit. You would not normally use it for anything else because it's too expensive to use for firewood. The same principle is, for example, a shchita knife is muktzah because you would never use it for cutting anything else. So even Reb Shimon would agree to that. So it's not a steer in the Mishnah. You're allowed to store it on the wood pile. You're allowed to store it on the straw pile because there's no chasar and kiss. But you're not allowed to store it on this expensive pile of wood, even if you decided on Yom Tov, you know what, I want to use some of it for firewood.
When you say muktzah machmas chasar and kiss, does it make a difference how wealthy the person is, or it's just a cost?
No, it's basically whatever you would normally not use for any other purpose because it's expensive, because it's set aside for a certain purpose.
Everybody could be different.
Yeah, sort of.
You'd be surprised, Jacob. Very wealthy people. I'm worried about.
That is true. take care of the pennies and take care of the pence, and the pounds will take care of themselves, right?
I joke around to myself that I have a little job guarding my eyes, and by doing that, it should pay me.
Okay.
On the money on the ground, and
that's
I'm
good.
Quite a little bit of money.
Okay. Good. All right. The Ikka Demasna La Sefer. Then you have others who learn this discussion as referring to the Sefer. That when the Mishnah said, Avaloi Ve'etzim Shur Mukta, that when the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to store it on the wood pile in the Mukta, that on that, Omer Rav Kahana Zaytemeres Ein Maschil Ba'utatilus. On the contrary, according to this version, Rav Kahana says, we see from that that you're not allowed to store it in on a pile of something that was set aside, that was put away before you have to.
So we talk about Eitzim only in this case.
No. Before we said that the sefer is talking about a specific kind of wood. Right. Now we're assuming that the sefer is talking about generic wood, about any kind of wood, and therefore Rav Kahana is saying, if the Mishnah is telling us you're not allowed to start using it, if you didn't start using it for firewood before Yom Tov, the implication is that we do hold a muktzah. Therefore, Mani Rabbi Hoda, so who would that be like? That would be like Rabbi Hoda, the Islam Mukta. Well, then Eimer Reisha. Then we have a contradiction from the Reisha. Maskilim Ba'arei Metzateven. You're allowed to store it on the straw pile. Asa on the Rabbi Shimon, the Laslay Mukta. That seems to go according to Rabbi Shimon, who does not hold a Mukta. So here the answer is different. Before we were saying that the wood is something special, that it was cedar wood or whatever. Here we're going to say there's something special about the straw. Hasim Bativna Saria. We're talking about over here about straw that is spoiled. It's moldy. You can't use it for animal food. The only thing you can use it for, on the face of it, is to light a fire. The question is, Tivna Salya Hakazi Latina. Why? Even if it's spoiled, you could still use it to hold together bricks, to hold together mortar, cement, like they did in Mitzrayim. So then you should still say it's muktzah because you didn't intend to use it on Yom Tov. The answer is the Itzbe Koitzim. You're talking about that it not only is spoiled, but it has thorns mixed into it. So you can't use it to make straw because you'll cut yourself on the thorns. So therefore, necessarily, the only thing you can use it for is firewood, which the Alter Rebbe points out in Shulchan Aruch. You have to say that we're talking about that it was spoiled and there were thorns in it before Yom Tov. If it only spoiled or only got thorns mixed in on Yom Tov, obviously at the beginning of Yom Tov it was muktzah. What we're talking about over here, it was like that before Yom Tov, so therefore you're allowed to start in on it on Yom Tov because even before Yom Tov you knew that that was the only thing you could do with it.
In other words, if it would not be for the thorns, it would not be muktzah.
It would be muktzah.
Yeah.
It would be muktzah according to Rabbi Yehuda.
According to Rabbi Yehuda.
That's what we're saying. We have two different ways now of explaining our Mishnah. Either that it's going all according to Rabbi Shimon, that he's saying straw you're allowed and wood you're allowed unless it's expensive wood, or both parts of the Mishnah go like Rabbi Yehuda. You're allowed to use the straw because it's spoiled that's got thorns, and the only thing you can use it for is firewood. But you cannot. Therefore, not muktzah, but you cannot use the wood because ordinarily it's muktzah because you did set it aside. Right. That's the thing. Tosfos points out the difference is that the difference is also that the straw. It's true. Maybe before Yom Tov you didn't specifically intend to use it for firewood, but I mean, you can't use it for animal food. You can't use it for anything else. So, but basically, by default, you know, it's not like the straw you never intended to not use for firewood. You had other uses in mind for it, maybe. But after all, if you can't use those, then by default, this is what's left. Whereas the wood, when you put it aside, means you knew you were able to use it for firewood, and you put it aside and chose not to. So therefore, it's muktzah, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Mishnah says, "Ein noitlan etzim min a sukkah." You're not allowed to take wood from the sukkah. Elam min a samachla, only from what's next to it. Now, the sukkah we're talking about, on Yom Tov, obviously, we're talking about. The sukkah we're talking about over here, we're going to discuss in the Gemara, but right now we're assuming that we're not talking about a sukkah as in the one that you use on sukkahs, because there you have a different issue, that the wood of the sukkah and of the schach is muktzah throughout Yom Tov because of the mitzvah. We'll talk about that in the Gemara. Here we're talking about just a sukkah like you have a hut that you sit out in, you know, when the weather is nice. So like you're sitting in it on Pesach or Shavuot, for example, and you decide you wanted to take some of the wood from it to use for firewood. You can't take from the sukkah itself, but you can take from what's next there. Why are you saying you can't take from the sukkah itself, meaning from the top of it, because then you're going to be destroying an oil. That you're not allowed to take it off. Dekasasa Allah, because you're destroying a tent, you're destroying a building. Yeah. I mean, asamachlanami kasasa Allah. The same thing would be anything that's next to it. We assume right now that next to it means, for example, that you have, let's say, you know, the wall is very thick and you want to thin out the wall, but that's also taking off from an oil.
Just like the top, basically.
Yeah. The initial assumption actually was that minasamochla meant that you have that. Sorry, it wasn't about the walls. The initial assumption Rashi says on the Mishnah is that minasukkah would be from the schach itself, like leave a bare patch over there, and minasamochla would be to thin out the schach. Let's say so you're gonna leave the bottom layer, but you're gonna take off one of the top layers and use that for firewood. Either way, you're destroying an oil. I mean, it's all part of the same oil. Yeah.
It means
the top, yeah. And now would also be from the schach, but it would be like from the higher layers of it. Amar of Yehuda Mashmul, no. My samuch ad fanes. The word samuch does not mean nothing to do with the schach. It means you're allowed to take from what's next to the walls. So you have, in other words, you have the wall, you have pieces that were not actually woven into the wall. They're just standing right next to there. Yeah, they're helping to make the wall thicker, but they're not attached to it in any way, as opposed to everything that's on the schach. Yeah, it's all covered. It's not necessarily attached. It's not necessarily attached, but it's all the same. It's all the same covering of the sukkah. But these pieces that are on the side over there are not really part of the oil. No, you could even say that you're talking about something which is on the schach itself. Because what would the Mishnah be talking about that you're allowed to is if you have bundles. We learned in sukkah, for example, you had a case over there where you bring some bundles of straw, let's say, home, you put them on top of the sukkah to dry out, and we said you're not allowed to use those for schach unless you untie them and move them, etc. So here we're talking about Pesach, for example. Similar idea. You have your sukkah. You have your hut over there to sit in, and yeah, it has some schach on it. Then, sometime before Yom Tov, or on Yom Tov for that matter, you took a bundle and then dropped it on top over there. That bundle is not bottled for the schach. Therefore, you're allowed to take it for firewood, as opposed to if it was
from the
top of the sukkah.
From the top of the sukkah.
Yeah.
Is it convenient?
No. So that's what we're saying. It's not. No. Okay. So maybe we're talking about you put it before Yom Tov. But whatever. The point is, when you take it off now, it's not part of the sukkah.
It's not called
soisa because it's not bottled for the sukkah. It would be the equivalent of taking something off the table. Tanya Rav Chiya bar Yosef Kamei de Rav Yechanan, Rav Chiya bar Yosef taught a braisa in front of Rav Yechanan, Ein noitzim etzim en asukah el men asamachol, you're not allowed to take wood from the sukkah, only from what's next to it, according to these two definitions of samach. Rav Shimon matter, but Rav Shimon says it's mutter, which we'll discuss soon how he can say it's mutter. V'shoven, the sukkah, sachag b'chag, but both the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon agree when it comes to a sukkah, on sukkahs itself, shah surah, that's also to take pieces off. But if you made a tnai on it, hakolafi tnai. If you made a tnai beforehand, before sukkah, then it all goes according to your tnai, which also we're going to discuss how a tnai helps with that.
Tnai from
Paul, it's not about Paul. Yeah, so we'll see. So the first question is, what do you mean, Rav Shimon Matzah? B'hokasasa Allah. How can Rav Shimon allow you to take from what's samuch to the sukkah? Not just from the samuch, like the Tanakhama allows, but to take wood from the sukkah. That would be taking down an oil. We're talking about over here about a sukkah that fell down on Yom Tov. So there's no oil to tear down.
Even if it's on top of the roof, it's bundles.
No, forget about bundles now. We're talking about you had a regular sukkah up, which you're sitting in on Pesach, and then sometime during Yom Tov it collapsed. So now there's no issue of soot there anymore. According to the Tanakhama, it was muktzah, right? But according to Rav Shimon, not. But Rav Shimon, the Tamei, the less than muktzah, said Rav Shimon, goes according to his own opinion that he always says there's no muktzah. D'tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, Moser Hashem and Shevaneh v'Shevkara Aser, the leftover oil in a lamp or in a bowl that you put let's say as an extra supply for the lamp Aser is also on Shabbos. So as long as the lamp was lit at the beginning of Shabbos and then it went out, you're not allowed to use the extra oil because it's all Moser. Reb Shimon Matir and Reb Shimon says it's Mutter. So by the same token, yes, as long as the sukkah is up, there's a malacha in taking any piece off of it, off the schach. But once it fell down, it's the equivalent of a candle going out. You might ask me, dummy, how can you compare the two things? Hasam Adam Yoshua Matzapa Emasaitich Benera. In that case, a person knows that the lamp is going to go out throughout Shabbos. He's like sitting and waiting. Eventually, I know the lamp is going to go out, and then at that point, the oil that's left is not going to be Mutter anymore. But here, I mean, does a person sit and think, when is the sukkah going to fall down? He doesn't expect that it's going to fall down over Yom Tov. Actually, we are. And we're talking about where the sukkah already at the beginning, of Yom Tov is shaky. So already before Yom Tov, he has his mind about it. He has his mind on it. He knows there's a good chance sometime during Yom Tov it's going to collapse. And then he'll be able to take some of it for firewood.
Hurricane season.
Yeah,
I'd say,
yeah.
I'll
say it. Tornado. What?
This time is usually hurricane season.
Yeah,
no.
Actually, no, it's not usually tornado season.
Yeah, okay. No, not tornadoes, but hurricane, yeah. But no, I don't know really if the sukkah itself is solidly built, but it happens to be hurricane season, I don't know if this would work. This might only work if it's weak, if it won't even stand, if you don't expect that it's gonna last under normal conditions.
Only not
great. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
So whereas the Tanakhama would say, no, the fact is that Bein Hashmashas was Mukta, so therefore it's off limits. Where Reb Shimon says, I don't hold a Mukta, so therefore it's fine.
All right. I don't hold a Mukta.
Well, when Reb Shimon says, I don't hold a Mukta, we have to be careful about that. He holds a Mukta Machas Ksoen Kis, as we said on the previous Amud. He holds of the very, we have in Halacha, ultimately, the Halacha on Shabbos is like Reb Shimon. Technically, the halacha on Yom Tov is like Rabbi Yehuda, although nowadays people are usually makel on that as well. The author points out in a number of places, based on the Ramah, based on the Magen Avraham. So, but even Reb Shimon though holds. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, you can see there are defined in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos 6 or 7 types of mukta. There's mukta machmas chasar and kis. There's mukta machmas iser. There's mukta machmas gufay, etc. Reb Shimon holds of all of those as well. He's just saying, I don't hold of a general category that if you put something out of mind before Shabbos, that you didn't plan to use it before Shabbos or before Yom Tov, that it's off limits.
Now,
unless it falls into one of these 6 or 7 categories, then you're allowed to.
Uh-huh. On Shabbos, you say the halacha is like...
Right. And on Yom Tov, technically, there's only those 6 or 7 types of mukta, and that's it. Technically, the halacha on Yom Tov should be like Rabbi Yehuda. We said at the beginning of the Masechta, because we don't want people to treat Yom Tov carelessly. In practice, for the most part, we're noyig in on Mukta on Yom Tov like Reb Shimon as well. What we are machmir on Yom Tov is on Noland.
So you're saying basically, you said you have to have in mind this, you have to have in mind you use this, you have to have in mind...
Yeah, that's why we said, for example, about the straw pile, you would have to have had in mind before Yom Tov that you plan to use some of that, that you planned... No, that when it's spoiled, he would agree, but if it's regular straw, where you could be using it for other purposes, then if you want to use it for firewood, you have to have had that in mind before Yom Tov.
Rabbi Yehuda is talking about
Chacham,
and Rabbi Shimon is talking about the
Tam. Then we said, "Shavin the sukkah v'chag v'chag shi asura." We said that everybody agrees about the sukkah, that it's also to take anything from it. V'im hisna alar kol lofi tnoi, and we said if you made a tnai on it, then everything goes according to you tnai. The question is, umi mahani botnai? Does a tnai help to allow you to use pieces from the sukkah? Well, Amr Rav Sheshes Mishum Rav Akiva, but Rav Sheshes says in the name of Rav Akiva, Minayim La'afis Sukkah Shasurin Kol Shiva. How do we know that the wood of the sukkah is also the entire 7 days? Shenema, because the prophet says, Chag HaSukkah Shivas Yomim LaHashem, a Yom Tov of Sukkah 7 days for Hashem. V'tanya, and we learn in a Braisa, Rav Yehudim V'Sei Roima, Minayim Shekashem Shechal Shem Shemayim Al-Chaziga. How do we know, we had this Gemara in Sukkah as well, so a couple of months ago. How do we know that just as the name of Hashem goes on Chaziga, meaning when you match an animal as a korban chagiga, then it becomes hektish. You're not allowed to use it for any other purpose. Kach chal shem shemayim al sukkah. How do we know that the same thing, the name of Hashem, goes on the sukkah? So you're not allowed to use it either for other purposes. Tamad lema chag hasukkah shivat yom al Hashem. That's why the pasuk says the chag, maloshen chagiga, of sukkah is for 7 days to Hashem. meaning machag l'Hashem, afsucha l'Hashem. So just as the chag belongs to Hashem, so does the sukkah. The chag meaning the chagigah. So therefore, we see that
the korban chagigah,
right. Now, just like when you makdish the korban chagigah, you can't make any shnoyim. You can't say I makdish this korban, but I'm still going to be allowed to shear it, let's say. Well, the same thing. You can't put up a sukkah and still say I plan to use some of the wood of it. No, but we're equating the two of them.
I know, but I mean...
Yeah, that's the equation that we're saying, that you're not allowed to use the pieces of the sukkah. Omer of Menashe B'Reder Rava, so the Menashe B'Reder Rava says, Omer Shmuel HaGoyzabach says, yeah, you're right. Sefa Asa on the sukkah d'Alma. This last part that we said, if you made it tonight and everything goes according to you tonight, is referring back to a regular sukkah, a non-sukkah sukkah. Aval sukkah, the mitzvah by Mahani Batna. When it comes to a sukkah for the mitzvah, there no tanai helps. In other words, we have to parse the braisa as follows. It's saying that the Tanakhama is saying that you're not allowed to take wood from the sukkah itself, meaning from the sach, only from what's next to it, either the bundles or the pieces that are the loose pieces next to the wall. Reb Shimon says it's mutter. Everybody agrees that one on the sukkah you're not allowed to. Going back to the year-round sukkah, if you made a tanai on it, then you can follow your tanai.
But not on the sukkah.
But not the sukkah, right. Now, the Gemara asks back, the sukkah, the mitzvah, lois. So you're telling me that a tnai does not help by the sukkah for the mitzvah? Well, Tanya, but we learn in a braisa, we have this one in sukkah as well. Sukkah, if you put proper schach on the sukkah, the itra, and then you decorated it. Bikromim, uvisdinin hamatsuyorin, yes. With sheets and quilts that are decorated, that are embroidered. The talabot agoizim, and you hung in it nuts, shkedim, almonds, afarsikim, peaches, vidimonim, and pomegranates, upachile anovim, and clusters of grapes, yenis shmonim with slosser, so wine, or oil, or flour, all of those, Rashi says, would be in glass cups. The atwis shibolim, or crowns made out of stalks of wheat, out of sheaves of wheat woven together. All of those things, also the Stafik Mehanan Masa Yom Tov Achad Shachag, you're not allowed to use any of those things until the end of the last day of Yom Tov, meaning the end of Shmini Atzeres. V'im his now lem, I call the feet tonight, but if you made it tonight on them, then everything goes according to you tonight. So there we see that a tonight does help.
Yeah, but you can say it's not really part of the sukkah itself.
That's what we're going to answer. Yeah. We're going to give that answer, but wait.
Right.
Yeah. Tosfos, by the way, discusses over here that for us in Chutz La'aretz, they're also on Simchas Torah as well, for the same reason that they're also in Shmini Atzeres and Eretz Yisrael, because at the beginning of Yom Tov there's still Mukta. Therefore, for the same reason, they're also for us on Simchas Torah because the Shmini Atzeres is Sofik, the seventh day.
Right.
And then Tosfos discusses an interesting issue over here. What happens if Simchas Torah comes out on Friday? Are you allowed to use these things on Shabbos? On the face of it, you should be allowed to. Shabbos is definitely not part of Sukkot anymore. But Tosfos says that actually no, because in a way it'll be like Noilon. If you're going to say it's allowed on Shabbos, when did it become allowed? On Yom Tov. Then it's the equivalent of becoming Noilon. It's the equivalent of an egg being laid on Yom Tov that you're going to eat on Shabbos, and therefore you can't.
That's why we don't use it.
We don't use a noy sukkah. That's a different reason, because the Rebbeim said the sukkah itself is beautiful. Doesn't need chitzonius tikkun decoration, chitzonius tikkun embellishment. Yeah, but not. So you see that tanai does help. Abaya and Rava Dami Tavai. So Abaya and Rava both say first, what kind of tanai are we talking about? But Omer, it's where the person says any boido mehem kol ben hashmoshes. I am not planning to make them off limits to myself throughout Bein HaShemoshes. In other words, throughout Bein HaShemoshes, I am entitled to use them still. Well, Bein HaShemoshes is when the Kedusha first comes on them. Because Bein HaShemoshes is when Yom Tov begins.
Yeah.
So as long as you make that tonight. Now, if you make... this is the
old Tzeis we're talking about.
We're talking between Shkia and Tzeis. You're saying, up until Tzeis HaKachavim, I should still be allowed to use these things. Now, any other kind of tanai, as we learned about in Sukkah, would not work. If the person says, for example, I'm putting these things up, but I'm making a tanai that on Tuesday of Chol HaMoed, I'm going to be allowed to use them, no good. Because once the Kedusha already came on them, it stays
right
throughout the whole Sukkah. But if you're saying that you're allowed to use it throughout Bein HaShemoshes is when the Kedusha is first Chal on them. So therefore, if you're not allowing the Kedusha to come on it then it never comes on. Actually, in Shulchan Aruch, it points out there is the issue, there is the question: is it good enough to just say this that you're making a tanai? I'm going to be allowed to use them during Menach Moshes of the first night, or do you have to say that I'm going to be allowed to use them during Menach Moshes of every individual night? Otherwise, maybe you might argue every day is a kedusha of its own, basically. So therefore, you're allowed to use them. Let's say the first Menach Moshes that allows you the whole first day. What about the second day? Maybe they get a kedusha at doing Menach Moshes of the second day.
Here,
anywhere. Anywhere, you know, it's a job, the mitzvah of sukkah is for 7 days.
No, the mitzvah of sukkah.
That's what we're talking about.
Kedusha.
No, we're talking about the kedusha of the sukkah and of the decorations. Yeah.
Well, but you could say it starts from Yom Tov and it stays throughout the 7 days.
That's one way of looking at it, but the other way of looking at it is it starts anew every day.
Therefore?
And therefore you'd have to make it tonight every day in order to be allowed to use them.
So it goes and it starts again? Is that what?
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it.
Where does it go?
No, so it starts on the first night of Yom Tov.
The kedusha starts.
So it goes for that 24 hours. Then the next 24 hours, there might be a new chalos of kedusha, and therefore you need a new tonight.
Start the kedusha.
Yes, a new application of the kedusha. Yeah. So that's the tonight, right? So therefore, to like chalos kedusha alayu. So therefore, no kedusha comes on these decorations in the first place. Avol ati sukkah, the chol of kedusha alayo, but the wood of the sukkah itself, necessarily there is a kedusha on it, because you're going to be sitting in the sukkah. So therefore, it's kathayim, the shiva, so therefore it becomes mukta for the whole 7 days. It becomes off limits for the whole 7 days to use for anything else because of the mitzvah. So that's the difference. Having said that, though, actually, there is a discussion. The Rif seems to have a different gear than the Gemara over here, and the Baal Amor and the Ravid and the Ramban all get involved of the question: Does the Rif actually hold that maybe the same din would apply to the wood of the sukkah? In practice, the halacha is not like that. The halacha is, according to the version of the Gemara we have over here, that indeed that there is a difference between the noi sukkah and the sukkah itself. And therefore, the relevance of that is, even if the sukkah falls down during sukkah, the wood is still, it's still off limits.
The wood of what?
Of the sukkah. The wood and the tzach is still off limits. You can rebuild the sukkah, of course, but yes. you can't use the wood for anything else.
But it has kedusha.
That's why.
The tzach is in the tzach,
yeah.
But it still has kedusha.
Right. So my shna, so why is it different mehaji itmar from the following din? That it said, if a shiva esrogim the shiva sayam, if a person set aside 7 esrogim for the 7 days of sukkah, so he's going to use a different esrog every day.
Now you're disputing the fact of each day.
That's what we're asking. We're going to ask on that. Omar Rav kolachas vachas yotze bava oichol alter. Rav says that each one, you can be yotze with it and then eat it right away afterwards, because once you did the mitzvah, then that's it. It's no longer mukta. But Rav Asi omar kolachas yotze bava oichol amachar. And Rav Asi says each one, you're yotze with it that day, and then you can only eat it the next day. Because Rav Asi says once it becomes mukta for the mitzvah, it's mukta for the rest of the day. But tomorrow it's not being used for the mitzvah anymore. So what's the difference? Why is it with the esrog we're saying it's only kaddish for one day at a time, whereas the sukkah we're saying it's for all 7? The reason is hasam demasiku leilas miyamim, because when it comes to the mitzvah of lulav and esrog, the nights separate the days. Kochad v'chad yom mitzvah apin afshahu. So therefore, every day is a separate mitzvah of its own.
Because we say
a bracha every time we go into the sukkah also. No, the reason what we're saying is every day there's a period in between. There's a night in between when the mitzvah of lulav and esrog does not exist. You can't take lulav and esrog at night. So therefore, once you're finished with today, even according to Rav Asi, once you're finished with today, that's it. The mitzvah period for this esrog has expired. Tomorrow begins a new one, but that'll be the next esrog.
As opposed to
the sukkah, the nights don't divide the days because you have the mitzvah of sitting and sleeping and so forth in the sukkah at night as well. Therefore, all the days of sukkah are considered like one long day, and therefore, again, unless you made the tanai at the very beginning of sukkah on the decorations, then it's off limits for the whole 7 days, and the sukkah is off limits for the whole 7 days or even the whole 8 days, whatever, no matter what, whether you make a tanai or not.
You have to make 7 brachas,
so
the night is in between.
So we discussed in sukkah that we had a sukkah.
You can sit in the sukkah the whole 7 days and not have to make, and only make one bracha.
True, because you could be there 24/7. Yeah. We talked about we had a sukkah in sukkah a couple months back about the question: do you make a separate leisha of a sukkah every day or not? the final halacha was that you do, because even though it is one continuous mitzvah for the whole 7 days, but nevertheless, each time you're eating something, the fact is you do go in and out of the sukkah throughout the 7 days, and therefore every time you're coming back in, it's like a new thing. But the lulav and esrog, you definitely that same sukkah talked about. Do you make the bracha on lulav and esrog every day? And there we said you do anyway, because again, it's only a once a day mitzvah, and every night you have a break in between. Everybody.